In case any of the rest of you are wondering what that's about, here in the Church of God, we don't have formal membership. We just teach and believe that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're automatically a member of His church. But you have to come 3 Sundays in a row for us to finally believe that. And so Brad had accomplished that some time back, but they have not been able to be with us for a while. Yeah, you better give yours back. Exactly, yeah. That's called apostasy. All right. And then friends of, Hollis must be hiding somewhere right now. He's probably throwing up somewhere. Hollis is going to be sharing with us. But his friends, Wayne, Shamia. No, it's Shamey. Sorry. You and Zach are with us. And yes. And also his friend, is it Tony? Hi, Tony. Welcome, Tony, also. And with Colleen this morning is Tunisia. Don't say, don't call her Kayla or anything like that. Tunisia. All right. Okay. Sorry, Tunisia. Didn't mean to draw any attention to you. And then there's Bailey. She's here for the second week in a row. Bailey's with us. And Cindy's back. Good to see Cindy again. Linda's back. Good to see Linda again. And Mike is back, but he left his wife home because she's still hacking pretty badly. We already talked about you, so you don't get any other mention till later. Sue is back. Sue was sick last Sunday, too. And Ron's back there. He's way back. There's back, and then there's way back. Okay, enough nonsense, huh? Unless you have a colored bulletin insert. If your bulletin insert is just black and... Oh, I was hoping he would have given it to you by now, Cheryl. Cheryl is our special person today, and she brought these 2 guys with her. And Carolyn. Carolyn and Tom. We love you and appreciate you both. The rest of you are just nothing. Which, I've got to share this. Okay, so I was talking the other day. Some of you remember back when we were showing the Reinhard Bonnke something the flames, what was the name of it anyway, but Reinhard grew up a pastor's kid like I did in Germany, but his dad was pretty gruff and rough and favored the older son, and he told Reinhard many times, I guess, you're a nothing, you're a runt, you'll not, in German I guess it's a na or something like that. Anyway, so he grew up thinking he was a zero, but when he met Jesus and brought Jesus into his life, Jesus said, I'm number 1, you might be a 0, but next to me we're a 10. So anyway, it's good to be a 0 and next to Jesus. And then if you keep adding zeros, the last 0 is a whole lot worth more than the first 0, right? It likes 10 billion or something. Anyway, so we're all zeros together. What does that add up to with Jesus? Whole lot. So it's better to be here than to be home getting ready for the Super Bowl or something. All righty. So did I greet everyone that needed to be? Yes. Don't worry about Don coming in late. What do we have up here for upcoming events? Today after the service, another one of those quick council meetings, real quick, please. And then Wednesday night's Bible study, we're continuing in the life and teachings of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 and following. If you haven't joined us yet, that's where we will be starting Wednesday night. And then next Sunday, our annual church business meeting will be part of our worship service. We incorporate them and have a church renewal service. In addition to that, we'll also be after... a light, quick lunch. We'll have a special extended prayer time for Colton. And so we hope you can stay and join us. Just bring something light of your own. And then we'll have some special prayer time. Alrighty. And the 16th, there's going to be a special Valentine's service. I don't know if any of you know Marcus and Michaela Burt or not. Marcus is the grandson of Walt Burt, who passed recently. Jeff and Lori Stenslin used to come to church. Jeff was the grandson of Walt also. So there's a relationship there. But we went to Walt's memorial service recently. Marcus, his grandson, and his wife sang a song that I was so moved by. I nailed him afterward, and I said, you have to come and share that song with us on Valentine's Sunday. And so they're going to come and share a couple of songs, and so that'll be special. And we'll do other special things that day as well. Okay, and now we're going to say welcome Duane and Gregory in as well. On the front of your bulletin is this scripture from Psalm 23, very familiar portions of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, and amen. Hollis will fill in the gap there, along with some other thoughts the Lord has laid on his heart to share today. Let's pray. Father, as always, we come into your house with thanksgiving and gratitude, just for the freedom to do so, but also because of the many blessings that you have granted to us over this past week. And today's sunshine is one of those. We come with rejoicing into your house just to be able to unite together and to be one in lifting our voice to you in worship and adoration. Thank you, Lord, for those who are able to be back with us that we've missed. And we're missing a few others today, but we know that you're with them and the Valley Vista crew as well. Pray your blessing on those that are sick over there. Thank you, Father, that we can know that your Spirit is here and welcome us into your house today. We pray your anointing in every heart and mind, and especially for Hollis as he shares with us. We give you praise for it in your son's name. Amen. All righty. I've just got to ask, Wayne, you sing bass? You sing the bass part, don't you? Huh? I heard someone singing bass behind me. I think it must have been you. I don't think it was Shamia. No. All righty. Anyway, that was good, by the way. I like hearing that bass. So, let's see. I was going to say something else now, too. What was it? All righty. I guess I better just turn it over to Hollis because I'll mess it up otherwise. Are we glad to have Hollis back with us? Amen. Kathy would have been with him today, but she's coming back from Seattle or somewhere in her journey, so anyway, we'll get to see her down the road. But Hollis is going to share with us a message God has laid on his heart, and we appreciate Hollis's spirit and his desire for the Lord to use him and to speak through him. And so, Hollis, Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother John. Oh, yeah, I guess this thing is on there. I know what's going on. It's back feeding through this mic, I believe.
Is it still on?
Yeah. It's off. It's okay. Or maybe it's a little too loud. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, how y'all doing? Let's get the formalities out of the way. I was gone for a little while for personal reasons, and I'm glad to be back home.
Yay!
I want to welcome Tony, Wayne, and Shaney and their grandson here today. These are all people, I know the church family don't know, but these are people that are dear to me personally on a personal level. They are my friends and my neighbors and people that I really enjoy outside the church. So thank y'all for being here today. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that my wife is over there on the camera, on the phone, so I think she is here some kind of way. So God's going to make sure she keep. God makes sure that she keeps eye on me to keep me out of trouble. Today I'm going to ask you to bear with me. The sermon's is personal, and it hits home a little bit, and God has been waking me up all through the week and constantly throwing what I thought he had for me in the garbage can and making me start over. And he even this morning So I'm going to go in a little bit different than what me and Brother John talked about at the beginning of the week. He does that to me. I seem to not understand him the first time he tells me I'm that child. I'm talking about God, not Brother John.
Thank you.
That's not what I said. You just misunderstood again, son. You know, talking about the father, the shepherd, you know. We have a couple of scriptures that needs to be read, so if they would read them for us now.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Thank you. And we're going to be focusing on these prayers today, the one from David and the one from Jesus. You know, and prayer is, some people think that prayer is kind of like going through the drive-thru at Burger King. You know, you just order from God what you want in your life. And prayer is really not that. Mm-hmm. Prayer is something I do and I live out at my commitment to God, to bring me back to my Lord, you know. We're going to listen to a song right now before I get started. And when you first hear this song, you may listen to and think about a man singing about the death of his child. But actually, he's singing about the death of his child, the death of his spirit, and the redemption of God. See, all men will face two things in this world, and we can't get out of it. Some people say it's death and taxes. I think maybe you could hide from the government in another country and maybe live out long enough to get out of taxes. But every man will sooner or later face the reality of his physical death, and Satan will challenge him with his spiritual death. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Which one should I be in fear of? Should I be in fear of my physical death or my spiritual death? So that's kind of the road we're going to go down today, and why it's important to live a prayer out to the Lord on a daily basis. You know, most people know I was raised a Catholic, and what I love about Wesley theology is that daily reprieve, you know, that I need to come to the Lord every day, you know, and say I need you, and not expect God is my servant, you know, I'm his servant. So Sue, if you'll play the song for us, please.
Come from out of town asking me to go. They say there's so much going on, why don't come along and show us around. I tell them Karen's not feeling well, so I probably shouldn't go out. Besides, I've got a fixed list of things I need to do around the house. Then I hang up the phone, turn the radio back on, and sit back down. I know my boy ain't here, but he ain't gone. In the mornings I wake up, give her a kiss at two. But never ever really knocked down. Between mom and dad, Uncle Sam and friends, I somehow always pulled out. But the pain of this was more than I'd ever felt before. Yeah, I was broke. I cried and cried and cried until I passed out on the floor. Then I prayed and prayed anymore. Then minute by minute, day by day, my God, he gave me hope. I know my boy ain't here, but he ain't gone. In the mornings I wake up, give her a kiss, head to the kitchen.
See, Satan will come for our souls sooner or later. And he will probably break us with what we love the most. See, true hell, in my opinion, is being separated from my Father's love. To be away from the Lord's protection. That's where Satan wants me. That's where evil lies. That's where evil lies. Can a person die in the spirit, in their soul, before they physically die? I suggest yes. And if you don't believe that's true, I would suggest take a second look of a man called Adolf Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer. Only an individual that was completely removed from God in their spirit could justify and rationalize such acts in their mind and then act on them. It's no longer sin at that point. My sin that happens in here will eventually drive me to evil, and evil is totally me being moved from the presence of the love of my Lord. You know, I think Adam and Eve in the beginning, you know, when you really think about it, didn't say they killed anyone. They just recognized who they were, and they looked at themselves for the first time, not through the eyes of the love of God had for them. And they ran in shame and tried to cover themselves up. And man has been battling that back and forth. Satan tells us that he has a better vision for us and what we should look like than God. But there is no better vision for us than God. It's, you know, the valley of death, the shadow there, we'll fear no evil. Our goal is to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's where he wants us. That's where he wants us to live. That's where he wants us to be. That's where he's always wanted us to be. And he wants his children with him in the purity of his love. And us embrace that. It's our responsibility to embrace the Lord. We know, or I know, you know, in Matthew 22, and I'm using some verses that we didn't get in because God kind of threw them on me this morning, that, you know, that they came to Jesus and asked Jesus the question, you know, is it okay to pay taxes? You know, and he asked the individual, you know, do you have a coin? And he said, yes. You know, and he looked and he asked him whose image was on there, and we know whose image was on there. And he said, well, render up to Caesar what is Caesar's. See, the next question is, and render up to God what is God's. And the next question is what is God's? That's me and you. And the image on us is God. We should look like God. You know, I looked at my son as a young boy, and even though I could see his mother in him, I could see me. And actually, I could see his grandfather in his mannerism. It's my responsibility to come back to my father. See, when you really think about it, Satan can't force me to do anything. Never has been able to force a man to do anything. Never has been able to. When you think about it, it's not what Satan did in the beginning that got Eve in trouble. It's the action that Eve took on what Satan suggested that got her in trouble. And it was not what Eve did that got Adam in trouble. It was an action that he took on what Satan and Eve suggested that got him in trouble. So when I'm separated from my Lord, I have to look no farther than the mirror to find a problem. It's not the guy down the road. It's not my neighbor. You know, it's not my wife. It's not my children. It's the guy in the mirror. Because what you do will not change me. But what I do on what you do, the actions I take on what you do, will change me. And it's even going to move me closer to my Lord or farther away. There's no middle ground on that. It's no middle ground. There's no peace for a child of God on this earth. Complete peace. Complete peace is once I'm home with my Father. Now, he will sustain me and give me peace But I will not understand true peace until I'm in his arms again. You know, most of my life, I was like a defiant spiritual four-year-old. You know, I really was. You know, and I don't know if you've ever seen a four-year-old with their mother or father, right? When they just get walking good, and I just got walking good spiritually. You know, but that child will, it'll go, mama will be carrying it, and all of a sudden it'll get mad and start pushing against her chest and hollering and screaming to put me down, put me down. You know, I'm going to walk on my own. And I'll put that child down, and that child will run around and be like a chicken with its head cut off, you know, until it wears itself out. And then it'll run back and want mama to pick it back up. I did that years with God. You know, every time I got a little strong, I thought, I'd say, God, put me down. I'm going to stand on my own now. You know, I can walk without you, you know, and I could. But I couldn't walk in peace without him, you know. And then you see some of the children are spiritually disciplined, and that's the way I want to be. I don't know if I ever get past to being a spiritual four-year-old, but I want to be that. You ever seen the child that will cling to mom, seem to never want to be put down, never ever, but all of a sudden mom or dad will put the child down and say, you got to walk, baby, it'll be okay, you know. But that child will grab a hold of mama's finger and she won't let go, or he won't let go. And they never get no farther away from mama than that finger. See, right here is my Lord's finger. When he puts me down, I don't want to run off anymore. When he tells me it's time for me to walk a little bit on my own, I want to look up and say, okay, God, but give me your finger. Let me hold on to your finger, because I'm scared to walk by myself, because I know I'm no match for Satan without you. I'm going to finish up with this. As we know in the Bible, that in the Old Testament there are 613 laws. We know in the New Testament, some of y'all have heard me share that it's 1,050 laws and commandments. They're under about 800 headings, because some of them have been repeated in different books. See, for an old boy like me, all that is way too complicated for me to grasp, to have to figure out all that. Because I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer, okay? The sharpest knife in the drawer. Then my Savior, Jesus Christ, said, you know what? There are old boys that are not going to be able to get this high-tech thinking, so I'm going to simplify it and break it down in three laws that even a stick in the mud like old Hollis could, if he pays attention, can get it, you know. And we know what them commandments are. You know, when the disciples asked about commandments, we know. And one of them is to love our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our minds, and love our neighbors as ourselves. That puts the image of God back on me. And then he went farther on later on. And he, if you're looking for that, that'll be in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And then later on, for us guys, that was even more simple. How complicated is that? In John 15, 12, he gave one more commandment to the disciples. They asked him, Lord, what do we do? The reality was setting in that he was going to be crucified, and he was no longer going to be physically present with them as they knew him as a human being, you know. And he told them simply, that the commandment was to love one another as I have loved you. To love one another as I have loved you. And see, I don't believe that he was just talking about how he had loved them up to that point. I believe that he was talking about how he was going to love them to that point. The cross. Do not fear physical death. It's been conquered. Spiritual death is what Satan wants us to focus on. That physical death is what he wants to happen to us. But he tries to do the shell game and say, look what's going to happen to you here. You know? And how he'll attack. See, I understand Craig Morgan's pain. I understand that. I live that. I know what it's like to lay on the floor and cry and cry and pray until you pass up and be so spiritually sick and broken that you physically throw up. And look at the man in the mirror and believe and hear the voice of Satan in my head saying, no matter what I have in store for you, it's not good enough, you horrible father. That you are not worthy of God's love. You let that innocent boy die on your watch. You think God loves you? Trying to separate me from God's love. Now, he may not come to you that way. Who knows how he will come to you? That's not the only way that he comes to us and separated. But humanity is hopeless without God's love. And if we don't start teaching our children how much God loves them, it's like putting an injured sheep in a pack of wolves. It's just easy picking for them because they're defenseless and they don't know where to run to. They don't know the shepherd to go to. I took one action 9 months after Ricky was dead because once I decided that I would take this pulpit like God had been trying to get me to do. Well, most people know me. I'm a ball player, and I'm the kind of guy that once that I decide I'm in the game, you know, I want you to give me the ball and let me go get a W. Right now, God, what will you have me do? And I was like, God, okay, what do I do? What do I do? I do. And he said, and he told me, he said, do what your mama taught you. Do what your mama taught you. When we were kids, my mama had a little rule that she made us boys do to put the image of God on us and represent it. And she had a three neighbor rule. Okay, three neighbor rule, is we had to pick out a neighbor that we really liked and do something kind for on a regular basis. And then we'd have to pick out a neighbor that we didn't know, and if we were walking home from school, maybe move their garbage can on garbage day closer to their front door, but do something kind for them. And then we had to pick out the neighbor that we really didn't like. You know, and find some kind of way to do something kind for them. And give them something of God's love when they were defiant against us. And see, that's the tough one. That's the tough one. But when I look at it, that's what Christ did there. There was many people that was in defiant of God's existence. And he could have said, be done with them all. But as he hung there, he pled. He argued our case for redemption. Forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. I get up on a regular basis, almost morningly. And if I don't do it that morning, I do it at some other people. You want to change your life? You want to change your outlook on life? I get up every day. And if I don't, that morning, my day don't go do it good until I stop and do it. And the people that murdered my son, killed, took my son's life on a regular basis, I go to Lord, to my Lord in prayer, and I plead their case for redemption. See, they don't know that they're on trial, maybe. That they will have to answer for the way they handled that situation. And what they don't really know, of all people, I'm their lawyer in front of God. That's putting on the image of Christ. That's living out. That's bringing the cause. Because see, most people would say they're unworthy. How dare you? How could you do that? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Are you all... Once again, I was unworthy. And he could have asked for my condemnation. But instead, he ordered my case for my redemption. Love one another as Christ has loved us. My redemption lies in his love. Brother John, thank y'all for letting me share. Will you come and close for us, please? God bless.
Thank you, Paulus. It's got given us a lot to think about, and maybe it's a little bit different for each one of us. God knows. And so our response to his word this morning, as always, is to just open our hearts to what the Spirit is saying to us individually and offer ourselves back for his usage. We've talked a little bit this morning about prayer. This closing song is a prayer song about prayer. And maybe a prayer for ourselves, a prayer for someone else, someone who's done us wrong, whatever the case may be. But our whole life can and should be a living prayer that we offer to God. And so let's offer that to the Lord in our response this morning. As always, the altars are open if you desire to pray here.
Strength to climb my
Our prayer. What life can be as we offer ourselves. The word that you implanted, how personal and real that was for him and has become for us as well as we open our hearts and Word, your spirit this morning. Father, you know better than anyone what we've gone through, what we've dealt with, what needs healing, what needs restored, some reconciliation perhaps with others. You know it all, and so we just offer it back to you. Help us, Lord, to empty ourselves in our choice that you might be able to fill us with all of you. There's no higher privilege, no higher calling than to be able to be empty vessels that you fill so that we can be like Christ. We can truly be in your image as you originally created us to be. Not only for our own sake, but again for the sake of others as well. Help us to make friends for eternity as we offer ourselves to you. Work in us and through us. Thank you, Father. And so our offering to you today is ourselves. Thank you that that is the most fragrant offering, that the offering that blesses you the most, that gives you joy, and we want to do that. Thank you, Lord, that you are aware of all those that need your healing touch. Today, again, we're thankful for a number that are with us that were not here last Sunday, and you have restored and are re-strengthening. We continue to lift up little Colton to you. Thankful he's out of the hospital, but still needing your healing touch. And our hearts go out to him, to Mike and Brooke, the rest of the family as well. Give renewed health and strength and energy to each one of them. We just claim your purpose in little Colton's life, what you desire to do in him and through him, even in the sickness that he deals with. Thank you, Lord, that you can use that to your glory as you work your healing in him. We claim the same thing for Alma's sister Esther, not only in her body, but especially in her heart and her mind, as she needs you. Pray that Alma and the rest of the family's prayers for many years will bear fruit in Esther's life. Continue to lift up Dolores to you as well. Thank you for her faith and that she knows that you're with her each moment of every day. May our prayers help draw her closer to you as well. Bless Lula and the rest of the family in their care for her. Other family members as well. Thankful Alan is able to be with us today also. Father, you know what's in our hearts. So once again, we say, listen to our hearts. and receive what other expressions of praise and petition are offered to you now. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. I'm reminded also of Beth Ann that we mentioned earlier, and thankful Mike is able to be with us today. But we lift her to you and ask your healing for her, that she would have relief from that cough that she's dealing with and would be able to have the energy to function like she desires to and wants to. Bless Mike in his love and care for her as well. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, a special blessing for Arlene as she has lost her father recently and now facing losing her mother. And thank you that she's looking to you as well. Just pray that you will give to her what she needs and the rest of the family. No doubt there's unspoken concerns in each of our hearts and minds. Once again, Lord, we just acknowledge that and lift them to you, entrust them to you, thanking you that you know and you're with those that we love and care for, working your perfect will. We give you praise for that, and we ask, Lord, once again, that as we go from your house today, your Spirit would lead us, the Good Shepherd would be our guide, and that we will be careful to listen and obey so that we can experience and share with others all that you have for us. You're such a good, good Father. And all the people said, amen. Go with the Good Shepherd.